All right, let's start hour number two. What's going on? Welcome to the program. I am Jim Rome. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home in a simple way to get it, Rocket can. See, you've got some good news and some bad news, depending on the fan base, right? Yankee fan gets their guy, Aaron Judge. Bad news for Frisco fan and Padre fan.
Hey, Frisco fan.
Bills Mafia, really bad news. Von Miller, torn ACL, out for the rest of the year. So those are some of the top stories. 1-800-636-8686. Quick reaction to the interview I just had with Scott Satterfield. Jim, great interview with Coach Satterfield. I will say, a lot of fans here are not sure about this hire. He was only one game above 500 at Louisville. Coach Fickell left huge shoes to fill. Ian in the Natty wore the Bengals being Ohio's team. It's fair. Now, when Scott Satterfield got to Louisville, he inherited something less than ideal and quickly was winning there. Turned it around quickly. And then not as good after that. But offensively, a really, really well-respected guy. I thought that he came off well in the interview, said the right things, had the right energy. I think you got yourself a good coach. You got yourself a good coach, for sure. For sure. Good hire, good coach. You just lost the best coach you've ever had. A guy who did an amazing job. Scott Satterfield himself would tell you Luke Fickell did an amazing job. I'm inheriting an amazing program. Scott Satterfield, I'm sure, would tell you, and in a twist of fate. The whole thing's just kind of weird, right? The whole thing's kind of weird in the sense that they're going to play each other in the bowl game. He can't even attend that game for obvious reasons. And what's even more interesting is they both competed for the same opportunity back in 2016, and Luke Fickell beat him out for the job. And apparently it was pretty close. But I'm sure Satterfield himself would tell you they got the right guy because look what Fickell did with that program. Yet it all comes around. He moves on. Satterfield ends up with that job and ends up with a job that's even better now than it was back then. So we'll see. Bengals gal in Florida. I've not heard from her in a minute or so. Good to see that. She says, excited for the next chapters in Bearcats football. Scott Satterfield has some good, positive energy, big shoes to fill, but he sounds like he's up to the challenge, wore the natty. I think that's the way you have to look at it. Good energy, good mindset, great offensive mind, and he knows he's stepping into a great situation, but has enormous shoes to fill. Agreed. One more bit of reaction. This is in response to Aaron Judge, staying put. Jim, as a Yankee fan for 60-plus years. My God, Larry, how old are you? This is hey, no offense, Larry. This is not the demographic I'm looking for. 98-year-old Yankee fans. Just kidding, bro. I get it. Hey, Jim, as a Yankees fan for 60. Dude, what was it like when you were in the stadium when Lou Gehrig retired? Wow, bro. My man, you got stories, yo. As a Yankee fan for 150 years, Jim. I'll never forget, Rome, when the Yankees bought Babe Ruth from the Red Sox. What a day that was. 6 and hot dogs in the dugout with a gal on either arm. Man, Rome, those were the days. Hey, Jim, as a Yankee fan for 60-plus years, I am thrilled about AJ staying. But as you suggested, that's really the minimum that the Pinstripes had to do. Judge had a historic year, and they still got boat raced by the Astros. Note to Cashman and Steinbrenner Jr., there's no salary cap. You have more attendance and TV revenue than anyone. Spend it. Larry in Albany, spoiled, yes, but tired of waiting. And may I also add, Larry, running out of time. No, but just kidding, bro. You're right, Larry. Rack that email. Larry, you and I are on the same page. Like I said, no credit for that. Credit to Aaron Judge for making the ultimate bet on himself. What a stud. And I love the way he handled that. That when they lowballed him and offered to make him the 18th highest paid player in baseball, and to make it even worse, leaked the details to the media so we would know and he'd be perceived as greedy and that we did our job. I mean, all that's bad enough. This guy, I love the fact that he didn't even counter. He just said no. He just said no and then went out because he knew. He bet on himself. He believed in himself and then went out and had one of the greatest years a player's ever had in the history of the game and made more than $100 million more off the Yankees because they made that bad of a decision. I want to say they got what they deserved, and they did, in having to overpay this guy, but they're still lucky. They're lucky he didn't bounce and come back to Cali. Hey, Frisco fan, it seemed like it was going to happen, that tweet last night that Arson Judge was coming? Oh, dude, talk about a rug rip. That must have sucked. You probably were all partying. You're like, oh, this is hella awesome. Hella awesome, brah. Let's start planning the parade route. This is going to be great. We're going to kick the Dodgers' asses and the Padres because Arson's coming. No, he's not. Oh, bro, buzzkill. You harshed my buzz. That is hella uncool. Don't be tweeting stuff that's not accurate. Don't be tweeting lies. What the hell has happened to Twitter? By the way, Twitter, what's going? I'll tell you what hella sucks. When I fire open the app and I see a bunch of things on my feed that don't belong there. The hella is that? I don't follow that guy, and I don't follow her. What are they doing in my feed? Twitter hella sucks. Rome, you're cool for a SoCal. You make me laugh. But you know what's not funny, Rome? We thought we were getting Arson, and then we didn't. If it's on Twitter, isn't it true? What happened? We got jammed hard, Rome. And no more water for you, Rome. No more water, SoCal. Hella uncool. I'm not laughing at you. Well, a little bit. Let's see here. Hey, Romy, give some love to that dude who returned Judge's home run ball for nothing. He might have saved the whole franchise for the next 10 years. Rich in Rochester. Hey, Rich, why don't you get a cotton swab and then stick it in your ear and spin it around, brah. You obviously are not listening. I already gave the kid credit. I said, I don't know if he is the best dude ever or the dumbest dude ever. What are you listening to, Rich?
Give him back his success story. So
I gave him credit, dude.
Back to Judge.
Maybe use, hey, Rich. Hey, dude. Maybe you use that fancy rewind feature in the Odyssey app and check out the open again. Also, I think you mean Buffalo, not Buffalo.
Buffalo.
Come on, man. Learn how to use your phone.
Buffalo.
And finally, Romy, who died today besides the hashtag Bills Mafia Super Bowl hopes? Seriously, who died? Signed, Deathpool Revival Clones. Alan in Manitoba. Yeah, I know back in the day I said, when everybody said that when this show went into Canada that it would not work, I said, it will. The show works everywhere. They said the same thing when the show went outside the boundaries of California. It won't work. He only will work in San Diego. He'll only work in L.A. It's not going to work outside the state of California, and it did. And then when we went into Canada, everybody said there, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Nobody here gives a damn. It won't work, but it does. And I said, also, Canada will make us better. Canada will make the jungle better. Yeah, except for you, Alan, in Manitoba. You're not making it better. There is no such thing as a death pool revival. I mentioned yesterday, it was purely coincidental that Kirstie Alley passed away, and then Mills Lane did shortly thereafter. Now, I did mention, because those are both famous drops on the program, I did mention that these things do happen in bunches. Or moreover, these things happen in threes, and I was a little concerned about some other famous jungle drops. So I did do a little check-in, a little roll call, like, Carl Lewis, you all right?
Uh-oh.
Nancy, Tanya, you all right?
Put me to the ground.
And as much as I said it's not a thing, Bella was very quick to point out, well, if it's not a thing, Rome, then why is it behind you spinning on the crown? Wait for it. Right near Meltdown. That's whack. Wait for it. That thing right there, I don't know what that is. Grab a vine. The great one. I think they mean the huge one. And here it comes. Wait for it. Bam! Right there. Deathpool. It's spinning around. I would freeze it, but we don't have the technology, apparently. So, yes. I'm not bringing it back, but I never said that it never existed. Bella's point was, you're not bringing it back, but you are glorifying it by putting it on that spinning crown. Bella, I can't get anything by you. Stop paying attention to every single deed. She got me on that one. At Sucky Wells tweets. It's a new account. Is that actually Wells? Or is that saying that somebody says that Wells sucks? Hey, Wells, you've arrived, fat boy. Wells in the 720. You have arrived, fat man. You have a parody account.
Fat boy!
Fat boy! What's good? The fact that you have a parody account.
Fat boy, how many you got, baby?
At Sucky Wells tweet. Jim, I'm betting on Larry from Albany in the jungle death pool. That sounds like something that Wells would say. Hey, Jim, the Yankees are idiots. They should have let Judge go and save that cash. Signed, the Red Sox trading Mookie Betts.
You're an idiot.
And a fat ass.
Fat ass.
Trading Mookie Betts was one of the dumbest things ever. Casey in New Hampshire wore Matt Kuchar, telling his caddy that he is not giving Christmas gifts because the holiday is too commercialized. That is Kuchar. Good. That is good. That is strong. And at Mock Moda, was that a hypothetical question on who fell harder, faster, the Rams or Baker? Do you remember me? Signed, Baby Jessica. Of all the really stupid threads that I've never understood on this program, that's the stupidest. And of course, James Kelly can't wait to tell me how awesome he thought that was. Kelly, you are some kind of Nimrod. I don't know if I've ever used the word Nimrod before in my life. It just jumped out. Kelly, you really are a Nimrod. No, I couldn't even get it out of my mouth quickly enough how much I hate that thread. And Kelly's so awesome. Kelly, you are more of a clone. And not even a clone, but like the worst kind of clone. Then the worst kind of clone. Dude, you're JTP times 30. Except that you pull a paycheck from me. Dude, stop doing that. I've never seen anything like it in my life. I've had a lot of people come through here. A lot of members of the XR4TI. Some that looked at the clones with great disdain. Some that looked at the clones with awe because of the culture of the program. I've never had somebody who worked this show and was a member of the staff that was more of a clone than James Kelly. Dude, like, you embrace and embody the worst of the clones. And I'm not here to bite the hand that feeds. Believe me, these people come at me hard. And if I don't check them, nobody will. And dude, you are one of them. Stop doing that, man. Do you remember me? Signed, Baby Jessica. Yeah, I do. You know why? Because morons like you, Frank, and James Kelly bring her up every single day. James Kelly, king of the keyboard bags. That's your new gloss, dude. That's your new handle. You're no longer Big Head. You're king of the keyboard bags. Hey, Jim Rome here. Welcome to Jim Rome's King of the Keyboard Bags, where we talk gambling every single Thursday on this podcast. How's that grab you, Kelly? I've changed the name of our gambling podcast to that. Jim Rome's King of the Keyboard Bags. Rolls right off the tongue. Not only that, it's accurate. What was formerly known as Jim Rome's Big Head Bets is now Jim Rome's King of the Keyboard Bags. Join us every Thursday. When we come back, we're going to talk Army-Navy. Jeff Monken is the head football coach at Army. He joins me on the other side of this. Then I want to get to the Rams and Baker Mayfield. I meant that as a question, not even rhetorical. Who fell further, faster, and harder, the Rams or Baker? I mean, hence they're made for each other, right? Small business owners, do you want to know the secret to navigating the employee retention credit? Trust in Omega Accounting Solutions to help you recover any payroll tax overpayments that you made during the pandemic. You might even be eligible to receive up to $26,000 per employee if you continue to pay employee wages during COVID. All it takes is a quick and easy free 10-minute ERC consultation and find out if you qualify or not. It really is that simple. In fact, the date from onboarding to filing is only 1 month. CPAs, payroll companies, and more turn to Omega for ERC tax guidance because they are the acknowledged experts. Nobody knows more about that than they do. And with over 15 years of experience in financial management, business leadership, and corporate strategy combined, you can count on Omega every step of the way to take advantage of this exclusive small business tax credit. And again, it's a credit. It's not a loan. It's a tax credit. Or if you have any specific ERC questions, call Omega Accounting Solutions at 800-704-2000 or go to OmegaTaxCredits.com before the filing window closes or the funds run out.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back live in Southern California. I'm Jim Rome. Hope you're having a great day. Let's talk some more ball. Not just any ball. Let's talk about the annual. There you go. You're watching on CBS Sports Network. Check out that bonnet. The annual Army-Navy game is Saturday. In fact, it's on CBS. We are joined right now by the head football coach at Army, 63-49 in 9 seasons at the U.S. Military Academy. The Black Knights have won 2 in a row. They've won 4 of their last 6. Jeff Monken is my guest. He joins us once again. Jeff, good to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
So good to have you on. So Army v. Navy, there really is nothing quite like it. What's it mean to you to personally be a part of this and to be able to participate in one of the great, great rivalries in all of sport?
It is an honor and a privilege to be able to take that field with those competitors and just be a part of that game. It's an incredible game. The intensity and the focus that each of those guys has going in that game is unlike any other football game I've been a part of. And to be able to represent the men and women that serve in our Army is truly the greatest honor, to wear that same uniform and to know that we've got men and women around the world that are staring the enemy in the face at that moment. And we get to go out there and represent them in the biggest game on the biggest stage is awesome.
You know, in fact, Jeff, I would take it one step further. I've heard you talk about it being the greatest rivalry in sports. Like, how so? What makes it different and arguably better than any other rivalry in sport?
Every player on that field and all of the young men and women who are a part of those student bodies that are up there in the stands cheering them on, every one of those young men and women have taken a pledge to serve our nation, and they are ultimately making a pledge that may put their lives on the line to defend the freedoms of the rest of us. And so that to have a game like that where the 22 players on the field are willing to give everything for everybody else that's watching, that's truly unique, and that makes it a rivalry like no other.
Extremely well said. Jeff Monken's the head coach of Army. He joins us right now. Army-Navy is Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern on CBS. Now, so take me back, if you would. When you coached your first Army-Navy game in 2014, were you fully prepared for the magnitude of the moment, or is there really no way to prepare for it without actually being right in the middle of it?
I had been on the other sideline for six of those games as an assistant for Paul Johnson, you might remember. And,
sure.
and as I tell people, that's the only blemish on my resume, working at that other school. I'm on the right side of the rivalry now and glad to be here. But it is just an incredible game. And so I knew the intensity of the rivalry in the game. When I walked out of the locker room and onto the field in 2014, it had been, I guess, 6 years since I had coached in one of those games. And I said to the person walking alongside me, I said, gosh, I forgot what this felt like. And there's just an electricity in the air that's different. And it doesn't start when a game starts. It starts that day. And so just awesome to be a part of it. Obviously, in 2014, we didn't win. It took us a couple years to get a victory over them, and that was a real thrill to be able to do that.
You know, Jeff, I wonder, is the matchup itself unique enough that virtually nothing that has happened prior to this game, the entire season for that matter, really matters as it relates to this game? In fact, can you essentially throw all of that out the window, and does the game almost literally stand on its own as almost a season onto itself, or am I reaching a little bit?
No, it is. It is a... it's a game all by itself, and there are other factors that are involved in it. Obviously, if guys are injured and things like that, but that affects any game. What is different in this game is just the intense desire to win, and the emotion that goes along with this game, and how it can both positively and negatively affect the performance of the competitors. So it is really unique, and to be out there and to be on the sideline and just see that whole thing unfold, it's incredible. It feels like the game is hanging in the balance on every single play. I mean, from the opening kickoff, every play it feels like the game's on the line, and I don't know if I ever feel an intensity like that in any other game.
Army-Navy, Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern on CBS. You know, if we circle back, Jeff, can you talk for a minute about Branch Night? For those who do not know, what is Branch Night, and what's it like to see the players get ready for what's going to be the next phase of their lives when they find out where they're going to lead and serve and represent this country?
So Branch Night, pardon me, is the night where all of our cadets, our senior cadets graduating, find out what branch of the Army they're going to be in. And so there's a system for them to choose, which is really fantastic. There are 17 different branches in the Army and literally hundreds of different jobs that they might get in their first job out of West Point. But they get to choose, and there's a system where, you know, I have my first choice and my second choice and my third choice, and so they're all hoping for their first choice, and frankly, most of them get their first choice. But it's just the excitement of finding out, yes, this is what I'm going to be doing in my first job in the Army and when I graduate. And it's such a thrill to watch them open those envelopes and jump up and down and hug each other. It's a great, great night for them and a moment in their lives and in their career here at West Point that's going to be memorable for a long time. So that just took place last week, and all of our players found out, and they are really excited about their opportunities to serve and to be in the Army and getting the jobs that they all wanted. And so it was a lot of fun last week.
Wow. So in terms of the matchup this year, you know what you're going to get from Navy in the sense that they're going to try and grind you down with that triple option attack. We know this. What else stands out about the midshipmen this season as you've been watching film and getting your team ready?
I think they've improved as the season's gone along. I think they're playing their best football right now. And I just noticed that as we've watched them week in and week out and watched every film that we've got of them from this year, and they just seem to be playing their best right now. Their defense is playing outstanding, particularly against the run, which obviously that's going to be a big challenge for us. We want to run the ball, and they're really good at stopping a run. So I think they play really hard, and they do a great job coaching their guys. And so there's something that happens in this game, and you talk about this being a season all to its own. There are just guys in this game, and sometimes teams, you know, one team just plays really, really well, better than they have all year in this game. And I hope that'll be us. I hope our team will play better than we have all year, and we'll have some guys that'll step up and play their best games of the year.
Jeff Monken joining us for another moment or so. You know, I had your All-American linebacker, Andre Carter, the second on the program back in October. Really enjoyed that conversation. And he has a chance to be Army's first-round pick since 1947. I'm curious, what's he like to coach, and what has he meant to the program?
He is an extremely humble guy. I can't say enough for that. He's not a guy that talks. He's not a guy that has this expectation that the defense is going to be built around him. Just very humble. He wants to do his job and help his teammates win. And he's a technician, works really hard at his craft, works hard at the fundamentals, and he studies more film and spends more time outside of meeting time and practice time studying and trying to improve as a player more than anybody on our team. So wants to be really good and is very talented, and so I'm glad we got him on our team. I wish we could sign him to a new contract and keep him around here for a while.
You bet. One last thought, and you could talk about any number of your guys, but what about your quarterback, Tyre Tyler? I think he worked through some academic challenges early on. He was a member of the scout team. What's it say about his resolve and his fortitude that he has become the playmaker and leader that he has for you?
He has got a spirit and an energy about him that is really incredible, and it's infectious. As he was going through those challenges, his spirit and attitude never wavered. He was always really positive and just embraced it as his role and his opportunity to help our team, and he did. It's just been great to see him really come back around and have the kind of career that he has and make such an impact on the field like he has for us.
This truly is goosebump stuff. It's Army-Navy. The annual game is Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern on CBS. Hence the helmet right here on my desk. The head coach at Army is Jeff Monken. He's joining us once again. Jeff, thank you so much. Really great to have this conversation with you. Can't wait to see the game, and thank you very much. Good luck to you.
Oh, thanks a lot. Appreciate the opportunity. Beat Navy.
Beat Navy. Jeff Monken joining us. Such a great matchup. Your thoughts on that, if you would. Check out my bonnet. That's nice. I like that a lot. Army, Navy, there you go. CBS, Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern. Rit, I know you want to wear that so badly. Don't. All right, so we are open right now. We've done our two interviews, two good college football interviews. We had Scott Satterfield. We had Jeff Monken. And now we are wide open the rest of the way. 1-800-636-8686. When we come back, I want to talk about the Rams and Baker Mayfield. Now what? For both. Now what? And who has fallen farther, faster, and harder, and can either one of them get up? That's coming up next. Odell Beckham Jr. apparently has finished off his free agent tour. Little anticlimactic, right? He's not leaving Dallas with a contract offer, that's for sure. Seems to me he's leaving Dallas, wanting Dallas more than Dallas wants him. Seems to me a few weeks back before he got there and set foot in the facility, Jarrah was slobbering all over him. He is no longer. Let's get into that. Good Frisco fan. I wonder if I can ever talk about you now without sounding like this. Good news, though, Frisco fan. Jimmy G does not need surgery on his exploded foot. That Liz Frank deal is not a deal. So therefore, he might make it back this year. He may not be out for the whole year. I don't know. This to me is like some kind of strain of jungle Tourette's. Like, I think about Frisco and I start talking like this. It's a different strain. I don't know if I can get inoculated for that or not. Is there a vaccination for the jungle Tourette's? Because I'm not an anti-vaxxer in any way. Like, if there were a vax and even a booster or an inoculation... What up, Mike? And you know I'm doing this as a tribute to you, brah. This is not in any way meant to be disrespectful. I love and miss you, Mike. Is there a way to get vaxxed for jungle Tourette's? Because I think I have a different strain.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Calling all small business owners who paid employee wages during COVID. You may have, in fact, overpaid on your payroll taxes, and you are eligible to receive a refund of up to $26,000 per employee. To schedule your free ERC consultation, you want to call Omega Accounting Solutions at 800-704-2000 or go to OmegaTaxCredits.com. It's really easy, and you can get a huge refund. Check it out. All right, so phone lines are open really quickly. If I'm not mistaken, we just had our first set of holiday cards pop up. There we go. Hey, Chalk, jump up in here really quickly. Help me set this up. Oh, I love it. Here they come. Fast and furious. It is a jungle tradition on CBS Sports Network. If you want, we will put your holiday cards on our show. However, we ask only a few things, right? What do they have to do?
There's the send a holiday card to Rome at haveitake.com. Sounds simple, but no violence, no nudity, no foul language, no sexual content of any kind, nothing like that. Just something that we can show on national television, and you will be put on national television with your holiday card.
Is amateur porn permissible?
No, and neither is professional porn.
Is professional porn permissible?
Neither kind.
Is profanity permissible?
No.
Is the consumption of adult beverages permissible?
No imbibing.
Professional. No.
All right, so once again, if they want to do this, they should send it where?
To Rome at haveitake.com. R-O-M-E at haveitake.com.
All right, thank you very much, Tommy. There it is. Already we're bumping some in. Hey, by the way, real quick, who did I miss? Who did we bump in? Have you seen it?
At that I missed. It went by too fast.
Same. I saw them come up. I didn't see exactly who they were, but they're coming in.
Thank you for the cards. Keep sending them.
Keep sending your cards in. Rome at haveitake.com, but keep it clean. This is not our podcast. This is not our side hustle or our side hustle to our side hustle. This is middle of the day, broad daylight, CBS television. Keep it clean. No drugs, no sex, no booze. Just send us your family cards. You wouldn't send that card out to the rest of the world, would you? With profanity or nudity or pornography? I mean, maybe a few of you degenerate clones might. Just don't send it to me. 1-800-636-8686. All right. Looking for telephone calls. Looking for a phone call to set us off. So I hate to say it, but again, I'm not sure who has fallen farther, faster, harder. Baker Mayfield or the Rams? Why don't we start with the Rams? Just removed from a Super Bowl title, are now playing out of string already. I mean, how far have they fallen? Far enough that they were actually in position to claim this guy. That's how far. Or is Baker himself the guy who's fallen even further, given that he was just released by the lowly Carolina Panthers? So who looks worse? The team that won the Super Bowl or the former number one pick overall who was just claimed by the team that won the Super Bowl? Who looks worse? The answer is, as always, yes. Tie for last. These are desperate times for both. The Rams are already dead in the water. but they do need to actually finish out the season and actually play the rest of the games on their schedule, something that would be damn near impossible given who they currently have under center, backup John Wolford, who's jacked up physically, or third stringer Bryce Perkins, whoever the hell that is. I know who he is, but for effect. So the Rams desperately need somebody who is at least serviceable under center so they don't look like they're treating the rest of the regular season like it's the exhibition season, which is exactly how it's going to look anyway. And good luck to Baker. Good luck to Baker, who's got to spend the rest of the year behind that ass offensive line without any of those weapons, all while hoping not to get the holy crap beat out of him, while at the same time getting something positive to put on film so he can audition for his next team. And incredibly, as bad as he thought that situation was in Carolina, because he did ask out, as bad as he thought that situation was in Carolina, he probably had more to work with there than he will in Los Angeles. That was probably a better situation there than it is here in LA. Yes, I said it. He had more weapons there than he's going to have here. No Cooper Kupp, no Allen Robinson, and the Panthers technically are not dead. The Rams are. The Panthers technically are not dead because they play in one of the worst divisions ever. The Rams are already DOA. And the fact of the matter is, Baker and his career are now both on life support as well. I mean, make no mistake about this. And yes, I've always had this guy's back, but make no mistake. Now that the team that drafted him first overall has already given up on him, and then the team that brought him in has given up on him, this dude's career now is actually hanging in the balance. The fact that he could not keep the starting job in Carolina means his career is hanging in the balance. The fact that they preferred Sam Darnold over him says everything you need to know about not only what Carolina thought of Baker, but probably the rest of the league as well. Because reportedly, the Rams were the only ones that had any interest in Baker, which is incredible. And the only reason they do is they are as desperate as he is. So that means that this dude is not nearly what he used to be. He's not. And he's this close to carrying a clipboard permanently going forward. So what we have here then is this crazy marriage, right? A marriage of desperation. A marriage of a busted up defending world champion and a jacked up former number one overall, both circling the drain and both desperately needing one another. It's hard to argue how this is going to end well for either. And if Baker had asked for his release, thinking that he would just go to the Niners after seeing Jimmy G go down, he obviously thinks a hell of a lot more of himself than the 49ers do. Certainly more than Richard Sherman, who made it pretty clear on this show earlier this week what he thought of Baker when I asked him if the 49ers should bring him in. If you're the 49ers, do you bring him in? And would he be a better option than Purdy?
No. No, you do not. You do not. You do not. You do not. You do not bring him in. I do not believe in Baker Mayfield. I get sick of these guys, these first round top picks getting opportunity after opportunity, regardless of how bad they play. You do not bring him in. No, you do not.
So when it goes fast. And while Baker did play well early in his time with the Browns, he did. He led them to their first playoff win in forever. He seems now like a shell of that dude, mentally and physically. Like, I've always liked Baker. And given what he had overcome and that gigantic boulder on his shoulder that he would carry onto the field every single time he played, for me, he was a pretty easy guy to get with. But now it's hard for me to argue that he hasn't already played the best ball of his career, that his best ball is behind him. I like him. I hope I'm wrong. But he's not presenting any evidence to the contrary, right? And it's going to be hard as hell to make that argument in L.A. behind that offensive line where he's got almost no weapons to work with at all. Like I said, it's hard to imagine this ending well for either side. Now, he does have Sean McVay on his side. That's a good thing. Sean McVay is known for coaching up quarterbacks. Maybe McVay can work some magic here. There was a time when everything Sean touched turned to gold. It was not that long ago that this guy was on top of the world clowning other teams' draft picks from a beach house.
Really, really? Just went. Oh, my, UT Chattanooga to the first round. Hey,
how about that? And we wasted our time watching him thinking he'd be at 104, hey, maybe.
See what I mean? Like, these guys just clowning and laughing and mocking other draft picks. The epitome of FDM picks. But they could, you know, sit on top of the world. Won the Super Bowl in their $5 billion stadium. Everything was amazing. And now look at them. Slumming. Man, life comes at you hard and fast. And when it goes fast. And all of a sudden, now the Rams are with Baker Mayfield, and they're both desperate, and they need each other. So we'll see how that plays out. Baker, however, I think is fighting for his career, clearly. 1-800-636-8686. It would seem like a good situation until you remember that offensive line and what he's got to play with, and the weapons, and the fact that Carolina wanted nothing to do with him. I'm just going to skip and go right to below not good. It's obvious that's not good. It is below not good.
Below not good.
And then it's a short week. The Rams are playing tomorrow. Baker is highly motivated, but do you expect him to be ready to play in a game on 2 days' notice? I mean, no way you put him in that game, right? I don't think giving this guy the playbook on the flight to L.A. is going to give him enough time to get ready to play tomorrow against the, wait for it, suddenly resurgent Raiders. How bad are things? Last I checked, the Rams were 6-point dogs against the Raiders. So we'll see how that plays out. Don't go anywhere. Third hour is coming up. And right there at the top of my list is an email and or tweet from Abigail. You know I'm going to get that in. I want to talk OBJ also next hour. Stay tuned. Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-8686.